It's great to be with you again tonight, and I just want to say thank you for having us, Judith and myself. We appreciated the invitation and the opportunity to be here with you. Thank you, those that are responsible for the decision. It's been good working with Jeff and his wife, Joanne. We've not met each other before, so where we've kind of crossed over paths, you can be assured it's Holy Ghost directed. And it's not a comparison or a reading of notes, but it's a balance of ministry. Can we say amen?
Amen?
And the scripture talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. There's a balance. So there's differences on style, differences in delivery, differences on how we've been brought up in God, and there'll be a different way in which we present that. But it brings a balance. It's like in the prophetic, the scripture says we all see only in part. If you've got two or three perfect people working together, you get a complete picture or a bigger picture. So you can see clearer than when one works alone. Does that make sense? So I just want to say thanks. I'll say some other things afterwards, but I just want to capture us in that spirit realm tonight and just to help us. I want to do something. Can we just have a bit of a workshop for a minute? Yes? Can we? Yes? Down the back, yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah. John chapter 14, would you like to turn with that with me? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 14. I want to just kind of, throughout tonight, just work a little bit with the Holy Spirit and teach a little bit in the Holy Spirit, and just to bring one or two aspects that I trust would be helpful to us. If you don't know the Lord tonight and you're here, I want to ask you if you would open your heart to receive what you hear of the Word of God, for it is the instruction to life, and within it contains all that we need to know about who we are and who He is. It's about knowing about eternity. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that's opening your life and receiving and believing upon Him, that He might give to you eternal life and also abundant life now, then tonight you can receive Him. You can accept Him. And you can accept the salvation.
Amen.
And you can know God. Can you say amen tonight?
Amen.
We said this morning that the Holy Spirit was a friend. Is that right?
Yes.
We see if I go through, and I'm not going to instruct on this tonight, but I'm going to give some thoughts to just encourage us to get into the Word of God and to search some of these things out. But when I look at the realms of the Holy Spirit, I find out that there's probably around about 50 plus attributes of the Holy Spirit, that if we struggle to know what is God and what is me and what is something else or what is what, if we know how the Holy Spirit works, it can help us to discern and to know what is God when He is speaking to us. Is that okay? So John 14 is a good scripture just to start with, because he picks up a few thoughts here to help us to understand. And it's in verse 25, it says, "And these things I've spoken unto you, being yet present with you," Jesus speaking, "but the Comforter," if you say the Comforter, "the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you." So we see the Holy Spirit is firstly a Comforter. How many know that the Holy Spirit has come?
Amen.
So He's a Comforter. Anything that's not of comfort is not of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me here? Anything that is conflict is not Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a comforter. The Holy Ghost, he says a little further, he says He will teach you all things. Now I don't have to go to church. No, that's not it. He will teach you. He'll help you to understand the instruction of the Word of God as it is taught to you from men and women of God. But He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He goes on a little further, and then he says, "And He will bring all things to remembrance." So the Holy Spirit brings. We can have confidence to know that if you're in a position in a difficult time and you wonder, I wonder whether God would have something to say, He will bring it to your remembrance. Now, when you're relating with somebody, sometimes that remembrance could be an experience that you've had in life that could be appropriate to the person whom you're talking to. And the Lord is bringing it to your remembrance, or the Holy Spirit is bringing it to your remembrance, so that you can relate that to that person. It's not necessarily that you're wanting to say to them, hey, I've been through everything you've been through, so you better listen to me. It's not like that. It's like having a listening ear to the heart of the person whom is talking to you, and out of it searching within your mind, what is the Holy Spirit saying about this? And it may be an experience, it could be a thought, it could be a scripture, it could be something that you've learned that the Holy Spirit is bringing to your remembrance to speak to this person. Are you with me so far? So the Holy Spirit is a comforter, the Holy Spirit is a teacher, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance. When we need to remember the disciples, 3.5 years with Jesus, could you imagine at some time them saying, man, we know, we've learned so much. How will we ever remember it? Does anybody ever think like that? Some of you may be over the weekend. You're kind of like it's kind of gone on in there. You say, oh man, I've had enough. How will I ever remember it? Well, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance when you need to know it. Are you with me here? So always put yourself under the instruction of the Word of God, because it's good for you to build you up, but in that it's also giving you a resource, if I could use that word, that you can use when you're speaking or communicating to people who have a need of God. Is that okay? So he goes on a little further, and just for the sake of it, write down on your paper if you're writing notes tonight, my homework is, I'm going to read all of chapter 14, I'm going to read chapter 15, and I'm going to read chapter 16. But I'm going to take some thoughts out of chapter 16 for you. This is what he says in verse 8. And when he, the Comforter, will come, he will reprove the world of sin. How many know that we don't need to judge the world? How many know that we don't go around as judges condemning people in the world, let alone in the church? The Holy Spirit will bring conviction to the hearts of people that are in the world. They are already judged. Our responsibility is not to judgment, but to bring them out of judgment. Are you with me? That's what the Holy Spirit will do. Holy Spirit brings conviction. We preach the Word of God. See, they preach the Word of God in the New Testament, in the New Church, the beginning of the New Testament church. And it says that the conviction fell upon the people so much that they blocked their ears. In fact, they stoned Peter because they couldn't take any more of what he was preaching of the Word, because the conviction of the Holy Ghost was in their hearts. And so they responded and said, what must we do to be saved? They want it. So we live the life of Christ so that those that sit in judgment today can find a way out of judgment, making the way of escape for them. Is that okay? So he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, their need for it, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe on me, because they don't believe on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and he sees me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. How many know that the prince of this world is the prince of the air? How many know that we're influenced by things that are of the prince of this world? There's four major kingdoms that we need to be aware of. If I was teaching on the kingdom of God, I'd say, firstly, there's the kingdom of God. Secondly, there's the kingdom of the world. And in the kingdom of the world, you have all these different factors to it, but then you have the kingdom of Satan. And then fourthly, you have the kingdom of self. We're only interested in the kingdom of God. Is that okay? Because as Christians, we're dead. So there's no more self. We're not interested in the devil. And we're not interested in the world. This world. Is that right? So the Holy Spirit works in the realm of the kingdom of God. But he works within our hearts, because you and I are his representative to the world. So he goes on a little further. Howbeit, when he, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, so his truth is come, he will guide you. It will say, guide you. So he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. He's not puffed up. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you of things to come. So the Holy Spirit is a mouthpiece of God to you and to me. and he will speak to us the word of God. He'll speak to us and give to us the mind of Christ. He'll speak to us from the word of God and bring it to our own minds that we might understand. So this is the Holy Spirit then. What else will he do? He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit lifts up Christ, doesn't lift up us. So you see what our brother was talking about earlier today, in aspects of pride that come into a life and we exalt ourselves. That is not Holy Ghost. That is self. Self-promotion, to promote me to be something that you would maybe, that may appeal to you for some reason that I would want it to appeal to you. But if we're dead, it's not about self, it's about God. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit is not one that glorifies man nor glorifies himself, but he lifts up Christ. We've just been singing about that. And he shall receive mine, and they shall show you all things. And while you're doing your homework, have a look at John chapter 17. But I'd like to take you to Romans 8 for a moment. Is this okay? Is this helpful to anybody? Nobody. We'll go somewhere else. I find that a lot of people struggle with the thought, I wonder if this is God or if this is me. A lot of people out here in the world, they see things happen, they say, I wonder whether that's God or whether it's just whatever. We can know what's of God by knowing God. We can know what's of God by knowing what the Holy Spirit is and what his activity is, both in our life and in the world. So here we see in Romans chapter 8, it's a tremendous passage of Scripture. You should put that on your homework list and spread it over 2 or 3 weeks. It's a mighty passage of Scripture. But it starts off in the very beginning by saying there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying this after he's gone through a great period of struggle within himself. And he says, I know what I ought to do, but when I go to do something, he says, I end up doing what I know that I ought not to do. Oh, what a wretched man condemns himself. Another message. Then he comes straight into here, into chapter 8, and he says, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but who walk after the what? Spirit. Walk after the Spirit. Then you come down into the passage of Scripture. Let's pick it up and say verse 9. But ye are not of the flesh, but you are of the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. So where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. Everybody say, he's in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. That's his living place. And if so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in me. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. So he's the Spirit of life now. He's life, he's truth, he's comforter, he's teacher, he's a reminder, he's a bringer to remembrance. He's all this. And he leads us in the way, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit leads us in the way, the truth, life of the truth. The way, life, truth, and the way. He shows us the way. How does he show us the way? Psalm 119, verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet, is a light unto my path. What is? What's the word? Where's the word? Where's the word? Where's the word? Thank you. Here's the word. So he leads us. Holy Spirit makes that live in us. He guides us by the word. Prophecy comes to you not to replace this word, but it comes to encourage you in your walk in the word. Prophecy is a confirming voice of God to your life, to your experience, or whatever it is that you're endeavoring to walk out on. It can be an adjustment. I had a guy come through the church some years ago, and he was heading for a Bible college. He'd already set his path. He'd left his church. They had the farewell. He came to our church. I didn't know this. Came into our church on Sunday morning. The word of the Lord was to him. And God says that you set out on a path, But it's not the pathway that God is expecting of you. And you're going to know that God is going to turn you right round where you are, and you're going to find that you're going to go in another direction. How would you like that? The next morning he was called by his pastor where he left the church from. He said, something's happened in church B down the road, some way away. And I'm ringing you now to tell you that we want you to come back, reverse your route, and we want you to take over that church. Confirmation. The word of God confirmed his direction. Are you with me here? So prophecy comes as a confirmation. It confirms what God is requiring. And if we're moving in a direction, we don't stop moving. There are times to stand still and say, oh God, I'm ready to move. I'm going to start off. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He shall direct your thoughts. Tell him about what you're going to do. And he'll say, I'll be in that. And allow him to be part of the directing of your life. Is that okay? Yes? And then he says in verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, the same spirit, he shall quicken. Everybody say quicken. That means he'll make you alive. We've just been singing a chorus, let the weak say I am. Yes. When this mortal body, this physical body is weak, he, the Holy Spirit, will quicken it and make it alive. Are you with me? If this body is sick, the Holy Spirit is the quickener that brings life to this body. Are you with me? And Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, I pray that you be whole in spirit and soul and in your body. That's spirit, mind, body. We put so much emphasis on the body. Let's get the spirit right. The body will take care of that. But we have a responsibility to look after this body. I teach a lot. I do a seminar on the three-dimensional person. Spirit, inner man. Soul, mind. Get this right. Get this right. Get this right. If this is in harmony, this comes right. If this is in a conflict, then this wears the stress of it. And the stress brings sickness to our bodies. Are you with me? So we have a responsibility to look after this body. Do you see that? So he quickens, he makes alive this mortal body. I'm going to pause it there because I said there's probably about 50 or 60. I'm not going to teach any more of that. I'd like to do some practical application to this just to help you. Jeff's going to help me here as well. We're going to tag a little here. Are you happy with that? Because we all work differently. So I said to him, would you tag with me for a while tonight? So for 10 minutes, we're just going to tag. We're going to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit works in us. You see words of knowledge. You see a brother gives words of knowledge today. You see that I give words of knowledge, or we give a prophetic word. What is all of that about? See, the Holy Spirit falls in. There's another one there for you to follow through. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The healer, yes, words of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, miracles, faith, discernment. Man, we need that today. So how does this Holy Spirit work? Let me help you. You could be sitting with somebody, and all of a sudden you might find you've got a pain in some part of your body, which is not normal for you. You don't have a health problem that might relate to that part of your body. For instance, this morning, I think it might have been, or maybe yesterday, I said somebody was suffering with a breath condition, breathing, chest condition. How did I know that? I just thought, oh, I'll make it up because we wouldn't have an altar call. Now, all of a sudden, I lost my breath. And I struggled. I was struggling to get my breath. That's not me. I actually breathe quite well. I don't snore when I'm asleep. Who, who's picking on me down here? How would you know? Because my ears open. And I couldn't hear me over my wife anyway. Yeah! Ah, so I take another sleeping pill and I can still hear it going.
Snored this afternoon on your bed.
Who did?
You did.
I did.
You snored this afternoon.
I snored? No. So I have a condition. It's not mine, but I'm struggling for breath. So immediately I'm saying, Lord, is it something particular? Is this a tuberculosis? Is it a asthma? Is this a smoking? What is this? And I might pick that up or I might not. So I will then say, somebody here is suffering with chest conditions. And I need to know who you are. Because God has made that known right now. And as you respond to that, the Holy Spirit will bring healing to you. That is a gift. It's a word of knowledge, but it's a gift of healing. Both are gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? Now, we're just going to work with that for a little bit. And I'll just help you to understand right now as I'm just talking to you. See, I've got a pain coming right in across my shoulder at the base of my neck down into here. Now, somebody is suffering from that, and I'd like to know who you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, I just thought I'd make that up just to test you. He says quite a few are a pain in the neck. Anyway, this is... So to understand that, those that raise their hand, and we'll take that last remark away, but I'd like to just stand right where you are. Would you do that? Those who just raised your hand. Now, while you're doing that, my mind is saying, now, Holy Spirit, is there a reason for this? I'm looking for a cause that may be bringing this on in you. It could be a stress-related. It could be an injury. It could have been an accident. Here's one that is, and somebody's had this experience. It could be whiplash. Who's had that? Whiplash across here. It comes right round. Yes? Who? Yeah. Would you like to stand with this? See? Now, this is the Holy Spirit making known conditions, not for my benefit, but for yours. So now those that are standing around, just lay your hands on them. This is what you call body or impartation. And we're going to believe right now, as we pray, that the Holy Spirit is going to quicken or heal your body. That's His function. So let's do that. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we embrace the power of God. And we speak healing to this condition and this lower part of the neck and across the shoulder. I speak healing to that. I speak relief to it right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be lifted and let healing flow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you that feel relief on that, I'd like you to just raise your hand. Yes? 2, 3. 4, yes, others, 5, 6, 7. Are we okay? Yes? Yes? See? 8, 9. So that's, you can be seated, thank you. So that's, you're now feeling, you're not, I've done nothing, I'm not even there. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. Are you with me? But we are responsible to work the operation of the gifts is a faith operation. In other words, it's believing God that when you speak these things, that the Holy Ghost is going to do His part to attend to this matter.
I think one of the things that we have seen taught in the church is that you've got the gift of prophecy, you've got the gift of miracles, you've got this gift. But I would beg to differ, and I think it was made quite clear by our brother earlier on, that God will give you the gift that you need when you need it. Amen? So don't go confining yourself, because people like to say, well, Jeff, you move in word and knowledge. Well, I do that all the time. But that doesn't mean that God can't use me in any one of those other gifts. Hallelujah. And the first time I ever used one of the gifts, it was actually prophecy. And the only reason he used me was because we were baptizing somebody out in the water and nobody else wanted to get wet. And there was no one else to prophesy, and so God used me because I was the only other one there. Now, sometimes God will give you things that will help you. And the one I've just been praying as I've been sitting here to share with you something. And so let me share something that God gave me that's out of the realm that I normally move in. And that's word of wisdom. We don't hear that very much. Mm-hmm. And I had a woman come to me and she needed counseling. She had been abused sexually. And justice had not been done. And I won't go into all the reasons for it. And she had had counseling for 2 years and was little better for it. Not because the counseling was bad. The counseling was preparation for her meeting with me that day. And God gave me a spirit of wisdom. I said, you've got to do one of two things. I said, either take this person to the police today, or I said, take this person to God today. But you must decide now, and you must decide either give this person to God for God to punish, or give this person to the police to punish. Make a decision. She made the decision, handed the person over to the person that she chose. And guess what? Total healing and restoration, because justice was done. That's a word of wisdom, isn't it? Amen? Mm-hmm. And so as I speak that tonight, I'm aware right now that there are a number of people, I believe it's somewhere between 5 and 7, as I'm speaking, I'm hearing God say to 5 and 7, right now there are between 5 and 7 businesses, and you are facing a situation, and you do not have the answer right now. And you're saying, I need that wisdom. Would you please stand? If that's you. There's been between 5 of you and 7 of you. You're facing a situation in your business and you don't have the answer and you're saying, God, what will I do? Amen. There we are. There's 5 of them. There's 6 of them. Great. We've got 7. Now, Trevor's got the answer. He said we were going to tag, didn't we? I got you this far.
Take a hold of the book, Proverbs chapter 4. It's David, King David, speaking to son Solomon. And he says, get wisdom. There's about, 15 or 20 aspects of what wisdom is. The word of wisdom that you need right now is found there in that chapter. We could take time and go through that, but that's what you need to do. And let the Holy Spirit quicken the scripture specific in there that's particular to what you are experiencing right now. The Holy Spirit will do that. Is that okay? So every one of you could read that same passage and you'll come up with a different result because the wisdom covers so many different aspects of it. Is that okay? Thank you. God bless you.
Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for these men who have stood and the situation that they face, and we pray that you give them a revelation from that chapter of Proverbs. And Lord, indeed you will give them the answer and you will move them forward through the situation. We agree together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Do you see this? It's not always that you'll get a feeling. Sometimes something will come to your mind as it has done here. It wasn't a feeling here. It wasn't an emotional thing. It was a mind. Something came to his mind about wisdom. And then as he takes that and speaks to it, then we can identify with it and then God will speak further. Sometimes out of that, a scripture would come, like we've just said. Other times, a prophetic word might come from that, which can be the answer specifically to what you're experiencing right now. That'll help to guide you in your way. Part of the Holy Spirit's responsibility to guide you in your way. Guide you in all truth. Is that okay? Does that make sense? Somebody around this part of your body is suffering with, it's really a rash kind of a condition. I don't know what's bringing that on, but it's very irritable. It's I don't know whether you keep scratching here, but this is where I'm itchy right now. I'm never itchy there, but somebody is. You're suffering with some kind of a skin irritation. Who's that? Who's that? Just stand. Somebody. It is an irritation. Could be eczema. Thank you. There's somebody else as well. While you do that, and while I'm walking, I'm getting some jabs right in this part of my, what, back, hip, muscle, right in here. Somebody's got a complaint there. Who is that? Stand up, please. That's that. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Can we stand for someone else?
Yes, do. Absolutely. Sorry?
Either side?
Yes. Can you stand for somebody else? Yes, you can. You understand the scripture says that they took a handkerchief, they anointed it with oil. Somebody here has experienced that recently. And you lay the handkerchief on the sick body. It is the same as if though the Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You lay it upon them, healing will come to that body. Is that okay? And my daughters, when we were young, very young, only just been born, a few weeks, she got a bad chest, whatever. Went into hospital, went into the pump, in the limit, whatever you call this thing. Hospital said she needs to be here for a week, da-da-da-da. We went to church, got a handkerchief, we anointed it, went to the hospital, laid it on her chest, and went home. In the morning, the hospital rang, said, she's had an amazing recovery. You can pick her up. So we brought her home. She's never had the trouble since. Are you with me here? So, Father, we just take authority over this condition right now. Lord, we name it as an irritation of some kind. It's an asthmatic thing, or it's a irritation, Lord, that's bringing annoyance and discomfort to these bodies. And to those that are being represented here tonight, we speak the word of God, be healed, and we send the word of God to those who are suffering from this complaint right now, and we believe you right now to heal their body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Is that helpful?
Yes,
sir. You got anything else there?
One of the other ones that's listed there is miracles. And a miracle really is something that is supernatural. The Holy Spirit in you is supernatural. Do you agree with that? Now, God is speaking to me about a person who has a problem in their lower back. And it's not a healing you need, you actually need a miracle, because your lower back has been damaged, and I think it's even been fused, or you've had some kind of a medical treatment to it, and you can't even bend that lower back. Who's that person, please? Is that true, brother? Come on out here, brother. I'm going to lay hands on you.
Come too soon.
Oh, there's two of you? Okay, come on. Yeah.
Was there somebody here? Yes. Would you come? Thank you.
Because what we need to see tonight is a miracle. Amen. It's not. Sorry? How do I know that? Because he's sitting here. No, it's just a matter of. Bless you, brother. Just move it across here. God speaks to me just like you're speaking to me. Not audibly, although I have had that on occasion. But he just speaks a thought into my mind. But I ask him. He put me on the spot tonight. But often during the worship, I will say, Lord, is there a prophetic word? Is there a word of knowledge? Is there something that I need? You know, sometimes it'll be a word of faith or whatever. And so I'm asking God, because he does say that you should desire spiritual gifts. Now, here's another thought that you need to understand. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. He has a personality. He wants to relate to you. That's why it says don't grieve him. He's not it. It just grieves me when I hear people saying, oh, the Holy Spirit, it's here. No, he is here. Amen? He is here. And the thing is, I want you to understand this. And what I believe that God wants to teach out of this, if you just turn around, brother, because I'm going to put my hand on your back, is that when I lay my hand here, and it's already beginning to get hot, and that's a feeling that you can feel. I don't know whether you can feel that, brother.
Yes,
you can feel that heat already? Oh, amen. Sometimes it doesn't have to happen. sometimes that is just there to encourage me and also encourage the person. So this heat from the Holy Spirit is flowing through me right now, and it is doing a miracle in his spine and rebuilding it and making it was when he was a young fella. And very soon he's going to just bend over and he'll say, oh, Pastor Jeff, I couldn't do that before. Amen. And God will be glorified in that. Now, here's what I want you to understand, I believe, from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do anything. Okay? God is doing this. I'm not even praying for him. I'm just putting my hand there. So be very sensitive. The Holy Spirit may tell you where to put your hand. And if you are praying for a female and I've got to put my hand on her chest, I always ask her to put her hands there first so I can lay my hands. Be very, very careful. I ask, if I'm praying for a woman and I have to put my hand on her leg, I always ask her. Male or female, if I have to put my hand on the top of the head, I ask them because that is a place of authority. Does that make sense? That's getting hotter, isn't it, brother? I'm beginning to feel that's really hot. So what I'm just encouraging was God wants to move through you more than what you want him to move. Hallelujah. Because he wants to be glorified. Isn't that what you said tonight, brother?
Absolutely.
He wants to be. So the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify God, and he wants to do it through you because you are the vessel. And if you go back and look in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve him? It says, put away lying, cheating, all of those things. Why? Because he lives in you, and he hates those things being there. He doesn't want to stay there while it's happening. So we grieve him when we do those things. Now, brother, that's getting just nice there. Father, we thank you right now for healing. And Lord, what we really do thank you for is a miracle. Because, Lord, the doctors have told this man that this back's going to be like that till the day he dies. But, Lord, tonight I believe that you have just restored this back. I thank you for the heat that's been coming and just flowing in and just making this whole right now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now just give that a bend. Do something you couldn't do before, brother. Oh. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Actually, it's a wartime injury. Goes back a long time. But I was prayed for in a full gospel meeting, 1981, my wife's birthday, and I was healed. I've ministered in so many countries. When last time we came back from a trip to Fiji, started all over again. Cancer, stroke, brain surgery, the lot. And everything started to break down from that time on. But praise God, I'll be around again and do some more preaching.
Yes.
I will reach more and more people and lead them into the kingdom. I will not stand still. I might be 82 years of age here. But I see a road before me, and I will go on that road. And I will touch hearts and lives with the message of truth. And all the glory goes to God. Hallelujah.
Okay, actually, there's no point in me laying hands on this lady because, brother, I think you need to do it. Come on, no point. They've seen me do it. No, right back there. You got your hand on your nose. Come on. Yep. Come on, brother. You're looking interested.
And usually when
we're going to teach these people, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah, you've got the microphone. You're now the teacher. Lay hands. And just ask the Holy Spirit show you what to do.
Just before he does, and then what I would do in a case like this is grab a woman. So Judith would come. And she'll put her hand on that part of her back right now, and he'll put his hand over hers, and that'll be the impartation. It's just the protection thing again that our brother is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just receive, Lord, your anointing touching her back right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are a miracle worker. You delight in displaying your glory and your power. And we just receive it now for our sister. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. Give it a bend. Give it a twist. Look at that. It's good. Amen. Amen. Got a volunteer to pray for this guy? Who's never prayed for someone, seen them had a miracle? Who's never done it? Come on then, Ben. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Don't you never having had a chance to see a miracle? Well, this is going to be a creative miracle because this back, I can tell you, is not in good shape. Isn't that true? There you go. And you'll see the power of God coming on his body. Some people do that. You need to understand that our bodies are human, God is supernatural, and different bodies react differently, right? So if some people shake, that's fine. Don't worry about that. Some people don't. That's fine as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, I said the base of the spine, but I tell you what, your spine's actually needing attention at the top of the spine as well, and as Ben's praying for you, that's being healed as well. Thank you, Lord. If you're going to pray anything, Ben, you better pray quickly, because it's just about healed.
Healed in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, give it a twist, brother. Come on. Tell her. Oh, hear that click. I love that. Oh, man. Whoa. Feel good?
Yeah, I had a click on the floor in a meeting recently.
Praise God. The reason I ask for people to do something afterwards is that faith is always... No, thank him. Don't thank me. Faith is always an action. Amen? Those four guys, they picked up the guy, they carried him with Jesus. And so if people say, oh, I'm healed, but they don't actually bend over, guess what's happening? They're not exercising their faith. So I ask them to do something they haven't done before. All right, you finished with me, brother? Thank you.
That's great. Is that helpful? Yes? And the reason to do that tonight was to help you to understand that you can do that where you are. And it doesn't have to be in church, but it actually is where you are in your workplace. The gift or the working of the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, covet the gifts. Then he goes on, he identifies specifically the gift of prophecy, but he says, covet the gifts. If you desire to move in one of those gifts, you need to covet and ask God, and one will lead to another. If it's a gift of healing, then find sick people. If there's none in your circle, go to the hospital. True. Ask them at the desk, is there somebody that doesn't get visited here that I can just go and talk to? That's all you need to ask. And when you get with them in the room, you can begin to pray. You don't have to get all spiritual about it or religious. You just lay your hands on them and just you can even just quietly say, Father, right now, I believe you to bring healing to this body. Or you may ask the person and say to them, would you like me to pray for you? If you know there's an antagonism there straight away, you might want to say, before I go, I'm going to pray for you today. Is that okay? Turn to somebody and say, you can do this. Oh, that's quiet. Say it again. You can do this. If you are an ambassador for Christ, and you are, an ambassador means somebody that's been sent out on a mission and given authority to make decisions in that country on behalf of the power that they represent. We are ambassadors on behalf of heaven. We are sent as ambassadors into the world to make decisions on his behalf, according to his word, that will change people. That's our responsibility. He's given us that responsibility. Hallelujah. And so this way, so everyone that's here today, I don't know what's here, maybe 200 people, maybe plus. You find somebody this week, it's 200 people plus that will find experience healing or wisdom or word of knowledge or a word of counsel that you might give to them, because the Holy Spirit has given to you the answer to their problem. You are the answer, because God is the answer. And God doesn't come to do it, he uses you to do it. Would you come with me to the book of Matthew for a moment? Matthew chapter 3. The backdrop here is we've gone through the whole of the Old Covenant. Israel has gone up and down, obedience, repentance, all through their lives, and they continue to do so today. Nothing has changed. And then we get to the book of Malachi, and God finishes up on this tithing thing. Says, you've robbed the nation, you've robbed me, the nation's robbed me, etc., etc. And then the book of Malachi closes, and there's about 400 years of nothing. And these people who have believed God over all of these years can't find him because he's doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, two miracles happen. One, a woman called Elizabeth falls pregnant. And second, Mary, a virgin, falls pregnant. And they start to grow. They're born and they grow up. And then at a given time, then John the Baptist, as the one from Elizabeth, goes out into the wilderness to practice his preaching skills. And people hear it and go out to listen to him. And he says this to them, repent. Prepare. Get ready for the Messiah that you've looked for and hoped for all of these years. Is about to come. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. If you want a message and you want to speak and preach somewhere and you're struggling for a message, get a hold of the same message today because it's as appropriate today as it was in the day of the coming of Christ, but only the second time. This is a time for the church to prepare itself for the coming of the Lord to rule and to reign. Amen. So he preached, repent, you vipers, you sinners, turn away from your ways. And as a sign of their repentance, he baptized them in water. He didn't sprinkle them with a hose or anything else. He baptized them. Means that they were fully immersed. Why is it so important? We do need to understand some of these things today. Baptism is actually about a death experience. It's about going into the grave and dying. That's why it talks about immersion. It's going down into the grave. You're dead. And if you stay in there long enough, that's how you'll be. But when you come up out of the water, you come up in newness of life. You're identifying with Christ. They are now repenting, turning away from, and preparing to receive this coming Christ. And then on one occasion, on one day, all of a sudden, Jesus joins the crowd. And John the Baptist standing up there, he looks and says, there, look at this, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He is among us today. And Jesus comes up to John and he says, baptize me. And we pick this up in a couple of verses in chapter 3, Matthew. And it says here in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, Jesus, he's mightier than what I am, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. Yes! With the Holy Ghost. And fire. You're going to be baptized. Not going to be sprinkled on you like some kind of a water can. He's going to baptize you. He's going to be fully immersed in the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The fire of the Spirit of God is the zeal that was the cloak of Christ that Isaiah tells us about. It's a zeal for our Father's house. It's a zeal for the kingdom of God. It's a zeal to see the lost to be saved. Because that's what's on his heart. But he shall baptize you. Tonight, I don't know, but can I ask the question of you? Don't respond. But have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost? and with fire. I mentioned to you that I experienced the healing power of God some years ago, and my body felt like it was on fire. For some time, because of my upbringing, I struggled with this baptism of the Holy Ghost stuff. I struggled with this speaking in tongues stuff. Until one day, I was prayed for and I uttered something in just a couple of words that was foreign to me. But you wouldn't call it a language. Amen. And so I struggled with, am I baptized in the Holy Ghost or am I not? And then I began to think about my little children when they were young and they began to speak. They didn't kind of sit up on the table and say, "G'day, Dad, it's great to see you, mate. Can you bring my tucker in because I'm hungry?" No, they just sat there and said, "Dad, Dad, 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 Dad." And when they could say, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Daddy," then they said, "Mamma, mamma, mamma, mamma." It was a word. They began to speak. Our children don't speak like that now. After 40 years, you would hope that they didn't. And so they've developed the language to communicate. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you need to develop the tongues that he gives to you. But they're tongues, he says. Out of your innermost being, John 7, 36, 38, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers. This he spoke of the Spirit of God. So the baptism now, he's talking about a baptism. We say that, you know, a lot of people in the church today say, "Well, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's great. You want to join me and pray and speak in tongues?" And see, there's an error has come through the charismatic move that says tongues is a gift and not everybody will speak in tongues. Let me help you understand. There is a gift of tongues, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is to the body, which is to be interpreted. And it is a sign to the unbeliever that God is speaking. Example, we had a big ministers and leaders conference. This was in Christchurch a number of years ago. It was when Sir Keith Holyoake was the Prime Minister of New Zealand. He attended this meeting. He attended it not as a Christian. He attended it as leaders of the city who asked him to be in attendance, and he did. At the end of the praise and worship, this great voice bellowed out an unknown tongue. And you kind of just want to kind of think, well, you know, don't look at me, Sir Keith Holyoake. You know? And then it was interpreted. That is a gift of tongues. When we met with him afterwards for a cup of coffee, he paused when he got in certain places, and he paused here by where we were, and we asked him whether he had enjoyed the time of celebration and singing, etc. He said, "Yes, but there's something I'm just a little puzzled. What was that? What was that other language?" See, it was a sign to him. It was a curiosity that grabbed his attention. And then he listened to the interpretation to understand the tongue. It's a sign. Now, when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is an evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not the gift that comes to the church. The difference is the gift and its interpretation edifies the church. The evidence of speaking in tongues with a baptism is for self-edification. It's to build up your spirit. Are you with me here? You need to throw your tomatoes. This is the time to do it. I used to get strong on some of this stuff. Used to. I still am. I probably just don't get into it too much. But I need to, because the church has lost its power because it's lost. This is where your power comes from. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This is the power source of God in us. This is what gives you the zeal. This is what drives you to want to please God and to do God's stuff. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I tell you what it did for me. It created a hunger in my heart for the Word of God like I've never known in my life. And as I studied it, this Bible became alive to me. What was the difference? The Scripture says the letter of the Word, that's the written Word of the Bible, the Logos Word, kills, brings condemnation, judgment. It's a book of judgment. But he doesn't finish there. He says, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, makes it alive. There's no longer a dead book. It's a living book, full of life. And when I'm going through hell, which is about every second month, I go to the Word and let the Holy Spirit make it alive for me, because my source is God. And when something's not working, I don't give up. I go back to this Word and say, God, this is your Word. Holy Spirit, you've got a responsibility here. And that's to make this thing work. And right now, you're not doing a good job. Are you with me here? Am I getting me across here? This is you. You are like this. There's no difference between you and me. It's the Holy Spirit. Let him get a hold of you afresh. If the fire's gone out, let him blow again on the flame or on the ashes. And let it cause a fresh flame. Why? Because let's go to Acts chapter 1. I was having a look before I came here tonight. I had about 17 messages to preach to you. And I haven't even finished what I started on Tuesday, Monday, Wednesday. When were we here? Friday. But anyway, this is it. Is this helpful? Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart. This is Jesus speaking to them. They should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith to him, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know these times, nor the seasons which the Father has put in his home. But, here is a but. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be a witness for me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld him and he went up in a cloud. He's gone. Jesus is no longer with them. But he says, there's another person coming in my place. He's a comforter, teacher, exhorter, a quickener, a life giver, a leader, a guider, a counselor. He's all of these things. He's coming to be with you, and he's going to come when I get back to my Father. He's coming down here. And when he comes, I tell you what, you're going to be so endued with power, you won't be able to contain the life of the Holy Ghost within you. He's going to make you a witness. That means wherever you are, everywhere you go, you're going to light a fire. Yeah. How many fires are you lighting? Blow them up. The fire of the Holy Ghost. You can't contain this thing. There's times I say to God, I've had enough. So he just waits for you to cool off. I was in church one night. We're having a campaign with a guy. The church was packed. There's this guy over here somewhere, over near you, Murray. But don't do it.
He kept interjecting in the meeting. I don't mind that. Just kind of keeps it alive sometimes. Helps people not to fall asleep. And this dude wouldn't shut up, though. I mean, he became an annoyance. So I got up, I stood up. I said, "Bro, you've got a lot of questions. Well, come out and I'll just, let me be your instructor for a bit. And let the rest of them enjoy this guy. Will you come out?" So he got up from his seat and he came out. He was a pretty strong dude. He was probably about my size, maybe a little bigger. He was a bit broader. He was sure stronger. And we got out in the foyer, and before I could turn around, and I was flat on my back. I didn't even get to answer one blooming question. And while I was down and out, he goes running into the church and says, "I've just done you, Pastor!" And then went home. Blooming thickhead. Brick. So all my teeth were loosened. Blood just pouring out of my mouth. Fear is in the people. I thought, we've got to deal with this. So I got out my handkerchief and I stuffed it in my mouth. And I soaked up all the blood. And when I could wipe it clean, I walked into the church looking all right. Just said, "I'm going to leave the meeting tonight, but I need you to know I'm just real fine here." Liar. And went home. Until it all come right. Cheeky blooming guy. What a cheek. In the house of God. It's happened 3 times. I've gone past lying on my back. And so I've become a little wiser. But I don't allow the conviction of the Holy Ghost to stop on the Word of God. Because it's the conviction that brings a response in the heart of man towards Him. I had a lady come in. I said, "She needs deliverance." The lady brought her in. She goes to our church. The lady did. This other one didn't. She came from another church in another city of the country. She said, "She's down staying with me. I'm convinced she's got demons in her. Will you pray for us?" Absolutely. I mind a fight with the devil. And then this lady in our church went out to get a cup of coffee. And this lady that came to get the devil, to get the demons cast out of her, had a hand behind her back. She came up to where my desk was. And I just saw her as she pulled this out, which was big scissors. And she was just going to run me through. So I dropped her. Yes! I had to. Yes. I've had to drop 3 women now. This little blooming guy? How would it? They shouldn't attack me. Woman, leave me alone.
I wonder the guy had been sowing and reaping.
Don't you love church? Oh, I love it. Is any devils here tonight? We've got a big man here. He's a pastor. He'll counsel you. I'll get you coffee. Two weeks later, a guy comes into the church off the boats. He's got hair down to here and it's tied up in a whole lot of thing, and he's a pretty rough-looking dude.
He's sitting out there in the middle of the congregation, and I get up and I start preaching, and I'm getting excited about preaching the Word of God. And this dude gets up out of his seat and walks up here. He comes and stands right in front of the pulpit. And as he's coming, I thought, oh no, here we go again. And so I quickly got behind the pulpit and just used it here for me as he positioned himself at the altar. I said, yes, this is something I can do for you, sir. He started to cry. He said, I want to get saved. Oh, thank God. Bring it on. Anybody here need to get saved tonight? Just put your hand up and come slowly. Oh, gosh. Anyway, you shall be filled with power. This word power in the Greek means dunamis. It means it's a miraculous working power. It means that you've got power to do miracles and to change people's lives and to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven on earth. The power to witness. How's your witnessing going? Churches run blimmin' seminars on witnessing. I'll tell you how to witness. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost and you won't be able to help yourself. Yeah, I'll run you a seminar and I'll take your dollars. But that doesn't do anything. Gives you step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You usually trip over on 2 and don't know where to go after that. Let's get a hold of the Holy Ghost. And then we'll do the works of the kingdom. Is that okay? Well, it's my last shot here tonight, so I guess I better make the best of it. Thank you for having me. I have enjoyed myself. I trust it's been helpful. But you knew receive the power of the Holy Ghost. So what happened in these days? Let me tell you, Acts chapter 1 was this. It was a promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3 was Peter and John going down to the temple. And he meets a crippled man at the door. And he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give to you. This was a man who was expecting to receive something. And as they reached out his hand, he received a miracle. And he got up and he danced for joy and went leaping into the temple of God. Silver and gold have I none. Acts chapter 4 is about laying all that they had at the apostles' feet to enable them to do the work of the gospel. Acts chapter 5 is Ananias and Sapphira who robbed God by deceiving the people and God. Acts chapter 6 was the appointing of 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom to wait on the administration matters of the church while the ministry gave themselves to prayer and to the word of God, and there was the increase by thousands. Acts chapter 7 was about the persecution. Persecution came pretty early in the church, and Stephen was stoned. Acts chapter 8 was Saul, that we know now to be Paul. Sorry, before that, Acts chapter 8 is about witchcraft becoming revealed. And Simon, was it, who tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, 9 is about Saul being converted. Acts 10 is about Peter, who was instructed by way of a vision to share the word of God with the Gentiles as they come knocking at his door, the unclean. And so
we see as you go through the stages are very similar to much of today. But where did it start, brethren? It started with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have all these brands of churches today. These brands weren't established in Acts chapter 1. There was only one church. It was the Holy Ghost church. It was established as the baptism of the Holy Spirit came. And we men have put our hands on it and created all these denominations that we can't enter one another's churches because of what they represent so often. I was in a place called Shepparton. Did I tell you this? Just a couple of years ago, they had a combined church service. And they had about 10 different denominations come together. And I was their guest speaker. And I had a word for them in their situation. The city. I paused halfway through. It just comes to my attention right now that you have all come from different churches. And that's just really wonderful. And I want to commend you for that as you are here tonight. And I said, but if you really are coming together, why don't you go back and have a cup of coffee with your pastor or your priest or your minister? And if you're here tonight, pastor, minister, priest, why don't you go back to your church and pull down your sign? And why don't you all go to the sign writer and ask him to make you the same sign and put on a Christian church? And then we can come into your church as well and get rid of the division of denominations that separate us. What's the world think about all this? I got the whiteboard out one day to our church. I said, if you got saved today, which church would you go to? They said, I come to my church, of course. I said, why would you do that? Why would you come here? Da-da-da-da. Okay, I've never been to church in my life. God met me out there like he met Saul. I just got saved. I want to go to church. And I'm thinking about it. So let's put some churches up on the board. We stopped at 70. We put up denominations of Christian churches. We put up abominations, Christian churches. We put up devil churches. They're all churches. We put Satan's got his own church, got his own synagogue, got his own priests, got his own prophets. He's got his own apostles. They're all out there. So which church am I going to go to? I've never been educated on church. Do the exercise. Write up all the churches that are in your town or your city. Or write them all up on a board. Boards are plural, probably. And then ask yourself the question. If I just got saved, where would I go? Because that's what they face out there. And that's why they say, I don't know what church to go to, I won't be bothered. Or whatever. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. Fire that separates every barrier that we clever men have put up that actually divide us. We looked at yesterday, a kingdom divided against itself is in desolation. A city divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself will fall. Well, is that helpful? So what do you want to do with this?
Get a mighty new and filling of the Holy Ghost.
Wow, that's probably good. Who wants that? Come on then. Can we have some music? Just somebody or whatever? Only one? Just one. Two. It's over to you. That's the word. Should be more than this. Got to push the chairs back, push them back. We've got to go downstairs. We'll go downstairs, whatever it takes. Church needs to come alive. Come on. You say you're in a denomination, this doesn't fit your denomination, then move on from it. If you go to a funeral service every Sunday and it's a dead church, give it over. If you believe that God keeps you in a dead church so that it comes alive, forget it. The church will come alive when you become a witness. And you become a witness when the power of the Holy Ghost touches you. Anybody else? Come and join. Love you to come. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Hallelujah. Yeah, we will in a moment. That's really great. Thank you. I do need some help. Well, just set your heart right now on the Holy Spirit. Music will just play quietly. And those of you who are counselors or whatever, leaders as well that are full gospel, Judith, Jeff, come. And we're going to pray tonight. We're just going to pray a prayer and we're going to come and just lay hands upon you. And just believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to quicken your body tonight and bring a new sense. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, then ask the Lord to baptize you. If you're struggling with something, then release it tonight. Power of the Spirit will deal with it. If your body is half dead, ask the Holy Ghost to quicken it, and He'll make it alive. It's the power of His Spirit. Hallelujah. We could have some that would just wander in behind here in case it's necessary, please, as ones are praying. Thank you. Could we begin to pray for these? Just lay hands upon them. Just believe as you do that. There's an impartation, baptism, release of power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Those that have come for prayer, if you speak in tongues, start speaking in tongues. Let the tongue, let the language of the Holy Spirit just flow. Bless you. Yes, bless you. We need somebody in behind just to catch anybody, please. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.